This episode of Living in Las Vegas is brought to you by the Capitol Grill.
Cool.
Living in Las Vegas starts now.
Oh, yes, it does.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada, that groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home, the Living in Las Vegas podcast.
Ouch!
And now your host, a man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was. Mr. Scott Whitney. Hey, welcome everybody to the Living in Las Vegas podcast here on the Vegas Video Network. Grazie. Prego. Hey, and if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to congratulate you because you are watching or listening to the longest running podcast about Las Vegas. That actually originates from Vegas, which means I'm not only going to talk about what it's like to live here in our town, and we're going to give you special insight into that tonight, but we're going to talk about adventures on the Strip and downtown over there on the Fremont Street, other cool places here in the Valley. And by the way, if you're a tourist or you're a visitor, maybe you're even thinking of moving to our fair city, well, guess what? This show is like your own secret handshake to all things cool and groovy. Hey, we're live every Tuesday night, 7 o'clock Pacific time at VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Again, VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. And like my good friend Christina Aguilera says, come on over. Come on over, baby. Get yourself over here with the live chat. First of all, be a part of the fun. It's fun. It's free. It's fun. You can get yourself part of the show. We dedicate a part of the show to the crazy bastards who are running around in the live chat. You're never going to meet a nicer bunch of people, by the way. And we've got people showing up sometimes an hour before the show. Why? Because we've created what I think is a fascinating community of people from all around the country, actually beyond the country, who just get together and talk and hug and do electronic hugs and kisses and stuff. And if I were to look to see what's going on, we've got folks, let's see, in Las Vegas and Henderson, which you might expect, but we've got Texas and Arizona, Mississippi, Illinois, Florida, Oregon, Michigan, Montana, California, Washington, New Hampshire, West Virginia, and two different folks from the great country of Canada. By the way, one of the cool things that are also part of being in the live chat is you get to see a little bit behind the scenes. We do a pre-show. We start streaming before our actual 7 o'clock official start time, so you can watch us get prepared for the big show, interact with the folks in the live chat. And then the post-show, once we're done recording, that's not the end of the mayhem. Oh, nay. We probably go, what do you guys think, another half hour or so, and it's kind of like Vegas Video Network, Living in Las Vegas After Dark. We talk about a few things that, yeah, we may not want to talk and have on record for the live show that we record. But I tell you what, it's kind of fun hanging out and watching us in the post show. Hey, I'm your host, Scott Whitney. Konnichiwa, buenas noches, how you doing, hot stuff? I am the founder of the Vegas Video Network. So first, on behalf of this show, thanks for watching, and behalf on all of the shows on the Vegas Video Network, we certainly appreciate your support, and so do all the other hosts here on our network. Hey, over under for today, efficiency. This is today's word is efficacy, and so I'm thinking it might be 62 and a hook. We've got some new people in the live chat. First, we've got Shinebox Mama. Now, when we first saw her in the live chat, she was a little reticent to share her story with us. So we did a little research. We found out that she was a gifted gymnast from North Korea. She found us on YouTube, yes, but food, no. But eventually we learned her name is Marilyn. Not unlike Miss Manson.
The beautiful people.
She found us a week ago on YouTube. So she's seen us for a whole week and she says, I got to be a part of this nonsense. I got to see what these people are doing. Pops, I've heard of a Pops. Mike, I got to see what a Mike Pop. I got it. Glenn, I got to see who. Jake, I got to see who these people are. So she got herself in the live chat. And she's from, and this is a test, she's from Saskatoon, Sasquatch, no shit, Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada. Oh, thank you very much. Wasn't so hard. Also, we have Kino Girl, who also was a bit reticent on who she is. She was a one-time cigarette girl at an Indian casino over in where the fuck am I, New Mexico, KG, which is what her friends call her, decided to move up to the Kino world as she's obsessed with calling out numbers from 1 to 80. Now, parenthetically, she claims to be my wife 1.0. I don't know if that's true or not, but how fascinating is that if that were the case? Okay, let's drink some and start the big shoe. Yes, when I spoke about Shinebox Mama, I should have said, hey. That's what them Canictians do. Okay. The business of Vegas, I would argue, is predicated on offering a product or a service, and that you, typically the tourist, believe that what we offer you is actually available and going to be delivered. That's kind of how business works. And quite frankly, that works most of the time. Most of the times, the things that you hear about Vegas are actually true. But sometimes not so much. So today we're going to talk about Vegas lies and how to spot them. Ooh, okay. Let's begin with lie number one. Prostitution is legal in Las Vegas. Now, the truth of the matter here is prostitution is legal in Nevada. But as long as you're in the right county. But Scott, what county might that be? Well, there's quite a few of them, actually. If you're in Carson City, or Elko County, or Humboldt County, Lander County, Mineral County, Nye County, or White Pine County, prostitution. By the way, half those counties have a total number of people, about 8 people live in those counties. They're very, very small. The one thing I did not mention in that list of counties is Clark County. And here's a news release. Guess where Las Vegas is? Clark County. So, as much as you might hope for, you cannot do the bumpity-bumpity for pay in the Clark County. Now, that is regardless of what your porn slapper friends are implying. And we'll talk a little bit more about them in a second. But there are those places. Now, wait a minute, Scott. You've named off quite a few places. About how many brothels might I be able to discover if I toured Nevada for several days? How does 20 sound? That seems like a lot of brothels to me. When I first became aware of the legal prostitution in Las Vegas or in Nevada, I thought there was one or two, the Bunny Ranch and I don't know, somewhere else. Heidi Fleiss, I think, had a place. I thought it was two. There's 20. Okay, Scott. You've sold me because you're quite the sales guy. I'm going to Las Vegas. I'm visiting. Where's the nearest brothel? Pahrump. They don't call it the hump over Pahrump for nothing. So if you're willing to drive about 40 miles, guess what? You can pay somebody to pretend to think that you're sexually attractive. Okay, next. This is for the men out there. This is just between us men, you women. Don't have to listen. Go get yourself a nice Chardonnay. Oaky buttery is what I recommend. For the men out there, that beautiful woman who saddled up to next to you at the center bar at the hotel you're hanging out. She's not talking to you because you're charming. Now, I know many folks in our audience. I've had the pleasure of meeting a number of you. Some have become good friends. Bestest of friends. These are good people out there who listen or watch it to our show. These are fun people. Arguably smart people and charming people as well. But guess what? That's not what it's all about. By the way, this happened to me. This is about This is when I first moved here. So it's probably 2006, maybe 2007. I was at a casino here, a high-end casino. It rhymes with Venetian. And we were sitting out with, it was a buddy of mine who I hung out with a lot when I lived in the Bay Area, musician guy. We were in a band together. And we were sitting at the center bar having a few drinks and talking after a nice steak dinner at Carnivino or where that we were. And this woman comes up, she's just a knockout. I'm like, wow, look at that. And she's just a chitty chattity chat chat. You know, obviously found us to be fantastic. And it was pretty kind of cool for a while until I think she stepped away for 2 seconds. I don't know, take a call or whatever, slice a card somewhere. And my buddy Ralph's like, you know, she's a hooker. What? No way. We're charming. We're fun people. I know us. We're pretty cool. No, she's a hooker. All right, so wait a minute, Scott. Didn't you just get done telling me that prostitution is illegal in Clark County and Las Vegas? Well, yes, I did. That's why those porn slappers aren't pitching prostitutes and they're not pitching brothels. What are they pitching? Escorts. Escorting is completely illegal. I can escort you to your car. I can escort you to dinner, or you can escort me. The part where it gets a little dicey is when I ask you to pay me not just to walk with you to the restaurant, but to get into your bed. That's a problem. So come on over, have some fun, but you can't do the prostitution in Nevada. And if that chick sounds like it's too good to be true, it's not because she finds your witty repartee impressive. She finds that your ability to whip out your wallet and use American Express or Visa, that's what she's turned on about. Sorry. Next up, the big lie. You know, you get free cocktails when you play a game here, casino game here in Vegas. Now, the sad news about that used to be completely and 100% true. As a matter of fact, I would argue it was the bedrock of what made Vegas, Vegas. See, back then, the casinos were clear on why people came. They knew how to make the money they were making. They knew that, if Joe from Poughkeepsie is hanging out here and he's playing his Wheel of Fortune and we keep plying him with free alcohol. And let me check how much this alcohol costs me. Okay, so rum, bottle of rum, $1.50, $2. And the Coke is, well, basically free. So I'm giving him about 35 cents worth of alcohol. But he sure feels good about it. And he tips the waitress or the casino gal walking around, the waitress gal doing that. So she's feeling good. Waitresses feel good. You know, Bill from Poughkeepsie thinks like he's a fucking hero and he's living the good life and he's being treated like a king. What are the chances of him playing a little longer? I was Bill from Poughkeepsie back in before 2005, before we moved here. We would come to Vegas. We would stay at the Aladdin Hotel primarily. This is before it became Planet Hollywood. I'd get my bucket of quarters. We had a very low threshold of what we were willing to bet. I put a single quarter in because I wasn't trying to win. I wanted to hear the chinkity, chinkity, chink. I liked the lights. I liked hearing quarters hit my bucket. I liked hearing the sounds and the music of the game. And I liked getting my free Tanqueray and tonics. And I sat there for hours doing that. And it was fun. That was my entertainment. Now, things have changed. I've said this before. Vegas has begun to lose their cool. And I don't mean cool like, you know, their confidence, their vibe. They're losing the fact that they're just not cool anymore. They're no longer the cool kids on the block. And Vegas was the cool kids since before you could remember, before any of us were born. And it's starting to go away now. So now what's happening? Well, how about this? What do you think about this idea? You go to a bar, and you know they have video poker on those bars. There's a bunch of casinos right now that on the back of those video poker, there's a red light, green light. Red light, green light, that's a game for kids, right? Not anymore. What it is the red light says that money has been put in, but it's not enough money for you to get a drink. Used to be, I'd sit at the bar, I'd put my $20 in, and immediately a bartender would be in front of me and say, hey, what can I get you? Well, I'll have that Tanqueray and tonic. I'll have that Crown and Diet, whatever it is. Now, you put that $20 in, they wait until you hit some magic number, and then the red light turns to green light. And then they'll offer you your drink. How does that make everybody feel? I know how it makes me feel. Pretty crappy. By the way, that's happening in other places as well. It's not just the blackjack. I'm sorry. It's not just the video poker. It's elsewhere as well. They're watching you play these games on the floor. Now, is this predominant? Is this everywhere? It is not. But it's happening. And it is a continuation of the fact that, Jesus H, these guys are kind of losing their mind. Okay, here's the next lie. The Vegas Strip is in Las Vegas. That makes sense. We're all going to Vegas. Well, actually, you're not. The Vegas Strip is in the aforementioned Clark County. So it's in an unincorporated area. It's actually called Paradise. And if you're driving on Paradise Road, you'll see now entering Paradise. So it's kind of a township vibe, but it's unincorporated. And here's an idea. Here's why I'm telling you this. I mean, the truth of the matter is, does it matter? Not really. That if you go to say to somebody, oh, yeah, I'm flying to Clark County, they're like, who'd you piss off? Is that in Oklahoma? No. Here's how this is going to be helpful to you. This is all about the bar bet. So you're going to do the bar bet. And here's where you're going to do this bar bet. Your first bar bet is going to be at SLS. They need the help. Go to SLS. You know, sit at the middle bar. They've got a really cool light above that bar. Big square boxy thing. Really cool video. Go there and find yourself a tourist, you know, a nice tourist. Make sure he's not talking to a very attractive woman who keeps looking at his wallet. And just say, hey, I got a bet for you. Are we in Las Vegas right now? And they will likely say yes. And they will be wrong because all of the Strip is not in Las Vegas. So you win that bet. But wait, is that true? All of the Strip's not in Vegas? It's not true. I'm now going to get you your second drink. Cool. So you bet in SLS that you were in Vegas. You knew that you were not. You get your drink. Now you're going to get up and you're going to head on over to the Strat. It's an easy walk. You could use the walk. We all could use a little exercise. You got to get your 10,000 steps in. Head on over to the Strat. Go up to Lounge 107 and do the very same bet. Okay, are we in Las Vegas now? Well, no. Oh, yes, you are, actually. Las Vegas for the Strip begins at Sahara and Las Vegas Boulevard and goes north. So the Stratosphere is in Las Vegas. So is, of course, Fremont Street. How about that? Okay, next. We all have to budget. It's all about knowing how much money we spend when we come here to Vegas. Of course, this is primarily targeted to tourists. But calculating your hotel costs is as simple as your room rate times the number of days that you'll be staying here. Now, this came up because I hear a lot of people, this has happened a couple of times in Haddam meetings when I meet somebody for a drink. They're like, man, this is way more expensive than I thought it was going to be. And arguably part of that is just the whole thing, right? How much you can spend. There's some, you know, expensive restaurants here. And by the way, the expensive restaurants are, I think, as a practice, worth it. Obviously, I have my favorites, but if you can swing a $50 ribeye, go buy a $50 ribeye because it's different than the ribeye you're going to get over at Outback, regardless of what the review journal people say. So you go in there and you go, okay, so I'm going to spend, I don't know, $100 or $150 for my room. I'm going to be here for 5 days. It's, you know, $500 or $750 or whatever it is. Nope. And we all know what this is, especially the people who are in the live chat who watch this show a lot. And that is, first, you've got resort fees. And here's a creepy thing. And that creepy thing is that these damn things keep creeping up. You know, when they first started, they were in the $10, $20 range. Now, on the Strip, on the main Strip corridor, you're looking at $30, $35 without even breathing hard. And the better the property, the higher it is. But let's call it $30 just to make the math easy. So if I'm staying at a hotel and I negotiate a good deal either through the hotel website or through, I don't know, Expedia or whatever, booking.com. And let's say I have a $100 room, which you can get in Vegas without breathing hard. It's not hard to get a $100 room. Just go to Hotel Tonight. Like right now, go to Hotel Tonight. You'll see several rooms, I'm assuming, for less than $100. So if I have a $100 room and I'm paying a $30 a day resort fee, that's a $30, a 30% tax on that room. Does that seem reasonable to anybody? No. But wait, there's more. I got one more little thing for you. Of course, this is for primarily MGM properties, but everybody's joining. Not everybody, but most of the people are joining along. And that, of course, is the parking fee. I'm a big fan of renting a car when you're on vacation so you can do and go where you want to go. And this is especially true if you're the kind of person who wants to get outside of the strip. If you want to go, for example, to downtown, to Fremont Street, or even like to Red Rock or places like that, well, that's another $10. Okay, so I'm $30 for my resort fee. I'm $10 for my parking fee. That's $40. That's 40% of a $100 hotel room. And even if it's a $200 hotel room, which, you know, those can happen for nicer places, that's still 20%. What the hell? $40, let's say I'm here for 5 days. That's $200 that when you first were doing your calculation and you were on Expedia, you're like, yeah, $100. Shit. That's cheap. And it should have been. Again, if I'd said this before, if I ran for office, two things I'd say, if you're a hacker and you put any spyware or ransomware, that's a felony, 20 years in jail. And the second one is enough of this bullshit with hidden fees. If you're going to charge me $40 or $30 for a resort fee, that's just, you're giving it to everybody. That's part of the deal. So my room's not $100, it's $130. That seems fair to me. That seems, I couldn't say to somebody, yeah, that live stream Las Vegas, yeah, for a couple hours, you're going for an hour, three cameras, let's call it $475 and show up and go, oh, did you want us to use the cables to connect the cameras? Fair enough. That's probably a good idea. That's an additional $30 per camera. That's what they're doing, right? That's fucked up. So I'm not a big fan of that. But wait, there's more. I didn't mention the fact that you are in a hotel. You are on vacation. Oh, you're probably going to do a little room service. There's nothing wrong with a $17.95 continental breakfast. Come on, get in there. Two eggs and a ham for $23. Fuck yeah, let's do that a couple times. Wait a minute, as I'm walking around the property, I'm going to be charging my drinks and charging my room to the dinner. That's fake money. It's pretend. You don't see it. It's hidden money. And everybody does it. Hell, we do it. We did it this weekend when we were at Disneyland. So my rule of thumb is whatever I think I'm going to pay for the hotel, I'm going to add 30% just so I'm not, you know, looking at my credit card a month later and go, what the hell were we doing? Now, little inside scoop. I just recently read that there is a way to possibly get the resort fee waived. And that is, if you let them know you're celebrating a special occasion, they may waive the resort fee. So I'm guessing that a bunch of you who are listening or watching right now might think, hey, all of a sudden, it's my birthday, or it's my anniversary, or I'm cancer-free, or whatever it is. So I don't know this, but I would give it a try. It feels a little bit like the $20 technique, not a $20 trick. You're not tricking anybody. You're offering $20 for additional service. I'm seeing people who call it a trick, and I think that mindset actually screws with them. It's a technique. It's just doing it. We're just offering that up, and hopefully you'll take advantage of it. All right, here's our next lie. Timeshare pitches are worth the time that you're investing in it just so you can get some free stuff, typically a free show. Let me first begin by saying that is 90 minutes of your life that you cannot get back. Time is precious. You know, when you are on your deathbed, and I'm sure you've heard about this book, What Are the Five Things That You Regret? That people are dying or regretting. One of them is just not doing what they want to do with their time, working too hard, not focusing on their family, not focusing on what they want to do or what they want to say. Are you telling me that you want to come to vacation in Vegas, and part of what you want to do during this finite amount of time, and by the way, the average amount of time somebody spends here is 4 days. So for some of that, for 90 minutes, you want to sit and listen to a guy pitch you on a timeshare? That's a good idea for you? Holy crap. But wait a minute. It's not 90 minutes. It's never 90 minutes. It's always over 90 minutes. And you know why it's always over 90 minutes? Because most people allow it. Most people are pleasant. They've been taught, don't be rude. Don't interrupt. So if somebody goes over 90 minutes, oh, he'll be done soon enough. It's okay. Let's just not interrupt him. We're almost done. Fuck. No. That's not how you want to play this. Oh, here's a good idea. Let's put ourselves in arguably one of the most high-pressure sales environment. Now, for some people, like, for instance, me, I like an aggressive sales environment. I like buying a new car. To me, it's like a cat batting a mouse. That's fun. Oh, yeah. This is the best and final thing. If you don't give me what I want, that's cool. I'm not going to play games. I'll just go to the other guy. Fun. But guess what? Your wife or your significant other probably doesn't see it as fun. Most people don't think high-pressure sales is fun. So you're on vacation, and instead of being on vacation, their neck gets tight and their shoulders get higher, and they're pissed off that they're having to deal with nonsense. So look, save the time. And here's how you can really save the money. That show they're giving you for free, you're going to be able to get it for half price anywhere on the strip. There's really not a show. I don't know if I can see an exception. Ted might know of an exception. But there's really not a show on the strip that you can't get for 50% off. And I mean Absinthe, Cirque shows. Want to go see Love? Want to go see Ka? These are great shows. 50% off. Half Tickets for Us or whatever the hell those things are called. If you're in Las Vegas, if you live in Las Vegas and you sign up for something like House Seats, hell, these B and C and D shows, I'm going for free. I don't pay for any of that stuff. They're papering the room, then, which means that they're covering them with free seats just so it looks busy, right? So do not do the timeshare. Scott, but I got to do it. I just want to do it. Fine. All right, you win. Here's what you should do then. When you sit down with Bob, the sales guy, you might say something like, hey, Bob, so really looking forward to hearing what you have to say. I've always been a fan of the Bali High or the Hawaiian, whatever this timeshare is, the Marriott timeshare. I think it's fantastic. And I know that I can trade my place for Hawaii. And I can't wait to hear this story. I'm sure yours is going to be unique. I just want to make sure on one thing just before we get started. This is 90 minutes. Is that right? 90 minutes? Okay. And you guys keep to the 90 minutes, right? Oh, yeah, fantastic. All right, just give me 2 seconds here, Bob. Give me just boop. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're from Poughkeepsie. La-da-dee, la-da-da. 90 minutes for you. Okay. Go. And put the clock right there. And let him know it's 90 minutes. And when 90 minutes is up, doot, 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 doot. Hey, Bob, that was fantastic. You're very, very good at this. We'll take our tickets now. Oh, Bob, we talked about this at the beginning of the conversation. This is 90 minutes. It's not 91 minutes. Give me my tickets and have a good day. Okay, our next lie. It's legal to walk around with an open container in Las Vegas. Arguably, that's one of the bedrocks of what's going on here in the Las Vegas. How can that possibly be a lie? Well, there are a number of exceptions to this, and you've got to be cognizant of it because you don't want to just think, oh, I can drink anywhere I want to be and figure out that you're being arrested because you can't. Here are the exceptions. The drinking of any intoxicating liquor or the possession of an open container which contains an intoxicated liquor, is unlawful in the following places. First, within 1,000 feet of a store from which liquor, beer, and wine was purchased in a closed container, except on residential property. So I can go ahead and buy a six-pack of beer and go home and drink it. It's residential property. but I can't buy that six-pack of beer and walk out and pop it open and start drinking it. By the way, this used to happen all the time on Fremont Street. Everybody was bitching that Fremont Street was trying to control where people were buying alcohol from, and they were. But it actually was inviolate. You know, you're going to the ABC store and buying a 12-pack of Coors and then walking out with your buddies popping out beers. That's illegal. And that's what that was speaking of here. You can't drink an open container in any parking lot in Las Vegas. So you could be at the Paris Hotel and you could go ahead and buy your drink or wine. And then you decide to head to your car. If you're in the parking lot with an open container, that's illegal. And I think that's, you know, pretty clear why they're doing that. C, on property or premises of the establishment of which the closed container of liquor, beer, wine was purchased. So you can't buy it in 7-Eleven and start drinking it in 7-Eleven. You're not allowed to do that, nor can you be in the parking lot for that as well. Drinking is also not allowed within 1,000 feet of a church, of a synagogue, of a public or private school, hospital, a withdrawal management facility, or a homeless shelter. Also, just recently, well, it's not that recent, about a year or so ago, Clark County passed an ordinance that makes it illegal to carry glass beverages on the strip. So this, I can't carry this on the strip, even though I can carry an open container. This container is illegal. And they put that into place for a couple of reasons. A, it was kind of a litter cutback issue. And also, it was a weapon issue. I'll cut a bitch. They were, I guess, tired of that opportunity. And you can't drink an open container in any vehicle whatsoever. Okay, see, I just saved everybody a great deal of legal fees there. Next lie. Vegas is not family friendly when it comes to be a place to live. It's not a good place to have a family. Well, here's what's interesting about this. This has been a long time talking. I'll be honest with you. I've seen this for a while. I've read it a couple places. I actually haven't done true due diligence, but it's been talked about that Las Vegas has the highest concentration of churches in anywhere in the country. And if you think about it, now, if you're a tourist, you're not going to know this, but Vegas was founded by Mormons, which is ironic, given it's called Sin City now, right? But yeah, so there are a boatload of churches around here, and every denomination you can think of. I pass by a Jewish place, I pass by a Catholic place, a couple Lutheran places. I'm assuming there's a Mormon place somewhere down around there. They're everywhere. So if it's your spiritual concern, I think you're going to be okay here. There is a concern about public school. When we first moved here in 2005 and started the show in 2006, it was the boom town, right? It was crazy. 5,000 people were moving here every month. And one of the most common questions we got is, you know, how's the educational thing here? What's going on here? And I should say that when we moved here, we have two adult children. We didn't have kids here. Had we had kids here, we'd probably look into it a bit deeper. But the Clark County School District is the sixth largest school district in the country. But the Vegas Valley, with 2 million people, is not the sixth largest area for schools. What's happened is Clark County School District is one big, giant school district for all these people. And normally you'd probably split that up, which is probably a good idea. I think this is an elephant trying to manage this kind of thing. But the truth is that for public schools here, there are a number that are, well, I've been told, problematic. Not all of them, but there's a number. So it's just like when we moved to our first home in California. Part of our research was the school. Actually, that was the number one deciding factor for where we moved in California, was which school has, in our case, it was a high school, which high school had the best scores, had a good music program. Those were our criteria. But regardless of the public schools here, the private schools here are among the best in the country and are ranked as such. Bishop Gorman, fantastic. Faith Lutheran, fantastic. But they're not cheap. A lot of people are sending their kids to private schools here. Now, I don't know what percentage of that is, but there's a number of private schools, and you're not going to hear a lot of bad things about private schools other than, I would assume, the cost. And I think, for instance, for Faith Lutheran, which is a Catholic place, I think if you're a member of the church, you pay less. I'm not sure. That's where Brett's kids go or went, was Faith Lutheran. Okay, next lie. It's easier to start a business in Vegas than anywhere else. Well, part of that is true. Incorporating in Nevada is, in fact, the smart thing to do for your business. And it does not matter where you live, where your business is housed in. Nevada provides some safety for corporations that's not really available anywhere else in the country. Specifically, we've got fantastic taxes and the concept of what's referred to as the corporate veil. Very difficult to pierce the corporate veil here in Nevada and Las Vegas. It's also kind of sexy to have a company with a Nevada address. Now you have to have a resident agent if you don't live here. But that part is good. It's good from a business perspective, from an income perspective. It's also good from a PR perspective. But what's not good about doing business with people who are actually in Vegas, as you are, is that there is a high rate of bullshit running around this place. And I think it actually, I've just been thinking about this, it makes it a bit more difficult to break through the clutter, to break through the competitive herd, because I think a lot of people are a little gun shy of the story. So much of what people say here from a business perspective is just, I think the garden variety of term is bullshit. It's just not true. A lot of guys tell their story and nobody really says anything. But the truth is, if you're paying attention, you can kind of sniff this stuff out. I've become more aware of the bullshit that comes my way. Either as part of the co-op, mostly from the co-op, people come in and talk and tell their story. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, you're wrong. And the interesting thing about this is that a lot of people think, well, Las Vegas has got 2.2 million people. It's a big city, a lot of opportunity, which is true. But while it's a big city, it's actually a very small town. This really is a who-you-know town. And I was just talking to a waitress at Capitol Grill. So I was at Capitol Grill for my birthday last week, a week ago today, as a matter of fact. And this gal is a dancer, a hip hop dancer, and she wanted to come out to Vegas to, you know, apply her trade, you know, go out there and dance. This is a good place to be a dancer, one would think. And she auditioned, and I don't know if she's good, bad, or indifferent, but she just got rejected. And she finally was told and recognized that basically if you don't know anybody here, you're not getting in. And that's just not for entertainment. That tends to be kind of a thing. She's working at Capitol Grill. She's been here a year. Why? Because she used to work at the Capitol Grill over in, I don't know, Chicago or wherever it was. She got the transfer. So you really do have to kind of hustle, which is the right thing to do anyways. I think a lot of people put a great deal of weight into networking. And I think there's something to be said for it. I've got co-op members who are big into networking and they go to the Chamber of Commerce stuff. And I used to do that, but I found that most of those networkers are really a bunch of poor people trying to get people to hire them. And so that's not really conducive to a good business. No, that's not, I'm not saying it's all like that. Like I know Danny does some networking stuff that's been helpful for her. But it's really about, do you know your story and do you know how to find and suss out the people who actually could use your product? So great to incorporate here, but you have to work. I think you have to work a little harder to get people to recognize that you're not one of the 50,000 douchebags that are around here that says, oh yeah, I've got a great idea. It's going to revolutionize the world. Oh, you're the one that's going to revolutionize the world. Fantastic. And then finally, before we get to our next segment, boop, boop, boop. If you are a dude, it's our final lie. If you are a dude and a well-dressed guy comes up to you and says, I'm going to give you hand you this little card to show it, and we're going to get you into the club early, you're still going to wake 3 hours. Now it's time to listen.
Scott again.
So Rose is my bitch. Okay, time for listener email. And this is brought to you by the good folks over at Capital Grill. I've said it once. I had my birthday dinner there last week. They were fantastic. One of my favorite tables right on the strip looking at the beautiful signs. Little birthday card for me. Little confetti with, you know, cards and birthday stars and stuff. Best steaks, best bartenders, real servers. Great location. It's a fashion show, third floor, across from Wynn. Great view. Been there the last three New Year's Eves as well. Listen, it doesn't matter if you're a tourist. Doesn't matter if you're local. If you just want to treat yourself, it's not cheap. I'm not, you know, but it's not crazy expensive. You know, a ribeye, bone-in ribeye DeMonico, $50 or whatever it is. Go and get yourself a great dinner. I promise you. You will not be sorry. All right, we got three quick emails we're going to be going through today. We'll be 42 minutes in here. We might go over. Our first email comes from Joseph. And Joseph writes, "Hey, guys. Sorry for the list of questions last time. None on this occasion. Thanks for giving such great answers last week. Also, just want to justify my two trips to Ellis Island that you were so amused by. In my defense, they have their own awesome brewery, and we were taken there by some locals. But it's fair to say I won't be rushing back. Keep up the good work. Hope to get in the live chat sometime. But for the time being, but the time difference is a bitch. Joe in England." Okay, so if I said that Ellis Island was a bad place, I didn't mean that. I like Ellis Island. They got cement floors, and I've said before, they do that so they can just rinse off the blood if they need to or whatever. But I like Ellis Island a lot. It was the first time I went to a casino where I could get, I think it was a pint for $1.75. And I think part of it was because just what Joe said, they've got a brewery on site. And it's good beer. It's decent good beer. But yeah, I think you can also get growlers there. You know, the big, tall, buckety looking things. So I like it. It's the place that has the, I think it's the $6.99 or $70.99 hidden dinner. Or you just have to ask for it, and you get, you know, a steak, which is crap, and potatoes, and I think beans, and a beer, or something like that. And it's not great food, but guess what? It's $6.99 or $7.99. That's kind of cool. And if you like karaoke, they have arguably one of the best karaoke bars in all of Las Vegas. And what I mean by the best, I mean talent. You're gonna listen to people who actually know what they're doing. So the reason why your tourists or your local friends took you there is because it's kind of a cool, quirky, wild place. It's off the beaten path. So, you know, you come to Vegas for the very first time, you got to do the strip stuff. And if you can, you got to go down to Fremont Street and Fremont Street Experience and maybe even Fremont East. That's the first time. But if you want to be off the beaten path and see some quick, you know, some wacky kind of crazy stuff, yeah, you go to Ellis Island. You have some fun there. That's a place. So I don't mean to be critical. I think that's the right thing to do. Greg in the live chat loves Ellis Island. Island Steve in the live chat loves Ellis Island. Shinebox Mama sang karaoke at Ellis Island 2 years ago. She also said that she had no idea that she was in mortal danger. I didn't mean to say that you're in mortal danger. It's just, it's kind of a fun place. For a while there, we were on kind of an Ellis Island kick, where we would go, I don't know, every couple, 3 weeks we'd hang out. And they've invited us to, you know, check out some other things that they've done there. I think it's kind of a fun, quirky place. And there are hookers there. And they're not the same hookers that you might see at, oh, I don't know, the Venetian. Slightly different group of hookers there. Who knew? This comes from Jack Terry, which in the live chat, they go by Jake the Rake 1949. He writes, "We both wish you a very happy birthday, Scott. All the best from Victoria, British Columbia." I really think we should call this living in Canada, because we're getting a nice group of people from the Connecticut. A P.S. Looking forward to Living in Las Vegas podcast number 300. Keep up the excellent work. Well, thank you. And he's actually experiencing it live right now. And he also writes another question. Will your live stream in Las Vegas have any effect on your Tuesday's podcast? I'm going to address that a little bit later in the show. All right, next up, SB. And he writes, this is a long one. Also from Canada. These people are chatty Cathys. I really enjoyed your show, and I was wondering if you could give us an update about the free cocktails that are given out at casino players. Not just the ones that play VIP or VP at the bar, but the guy who sits at the penny slots. Penny slots. And let's say anywhere from a kind of low-end casino on the strip like Casino Royale to an upscale place like Caesars and even better, Aria. I can't afford to purchase a $10 to $15 drink at a casino bar all day. I'd go broke in a hurry. So do these freebies, beers, still exist? Can I sit at a penny slot at Bally's, put in 20 bucks, and expect to get a few drinks? I haven't been back to Vegas in some time because everybody I've talked to says it's really expensive to eat, drink, gamble on the strip. Now, MGM just released their numbers, and they weren't good numbers, and one has to wonder if this is beginning to happen. I've argued this before, that we are no longer the only game in town, and I think that this may be an issue. Nowhere even close to what it was like 5 years ago. You know, I used to go to Vegas every year starting in 1994 to my last trip in 2010. Back in the day, my wife and myself could eat and gamble, get drunk for about $100 a day each. Mind you, we might not have eaten the greatest every day, and it usually was, you know, great buffet lunch and a buffet and keep us full until the evening. And we had something like a hot dog at Western Ho or Slot So Fun for $1.50. But some nights it was a dollar menu at Mickey D and food at the food cart at Excalibur. Anyhow, I know I'm getting off topic. I look forward to watching an episode on when you covered this topic. Well, today was the topic. This is from Steve, the owner of DOC of Motors in something Ontario, Canada. Well, actually, I think that, and I don't know this for sure, but I bet you at Casino Royale, they've probably continued to embrace the idea that you can do what you used to do. You can hang out, play your penny slots. Remember, penny slots are penny slots, but you're not betting a penny, just so you know. You're betting 25, 35, 40, 50 cents. But I think probably Casino Royale does that. Caesars, not so much. Aria, I don't think so much either. Like I said, I think it's the lack of happening that's it's a bit heartbreaking. Now in the live chat, I've got Ted at accessvegas.com. By the way, you should check out his website if you want some cool inside scoop. He provides a shitload of it, who says that he takes a flask when going to the casino. That's funny. Not this last weekend when I went to Disneyland, but the time before, I thought I'd bring a flask in there with, I think it was Honey Jack or rum or whatever it was, Crown. So I stuck the flask in. So like, all right, I'm going to have me a drinky poo at the Disneyland. And guess what? I couldn't do it. I could not besmirch the thought of Mickey Mouse walking on me while I'm in the corner going, I'm going to have my drink. So no flask happened this time when going to Disneyland. I'm a purist. Now, I will say this. For the first time, we decided to leave the park at lunch, and we had dinner or lunch at the ESPN zone, and I did have a beer the size of my face. But that was okay, because it wasn't in the park. All right. Was that it? It is it. Hey, fantastic. It's time. Oh, wait, real quick. Oh, I almost forgot that. Jesus Christ, that would have been a mistake. All right, time for RQS, real quick stories. First, congratulations are at hand. Our good friend Pimpin' Wayne, as you may recall, he talked about being a foster parent, he and Hannah, his wife, and the trials and tribulations associated with that. You know, they wanted to originally just adopt, but what they do in Clark County is they require that you foster care for a child before you're able to adopt. Well, today is the day. Today is the day that Hannah and Wayne got to bring little Robert into their family. So congratulations on that. I know that they were super happy. Hannah's cute. She is, you know, the doting mom. She's been the doting mom since she was doing the foster stuff. And it was funny in Facebook, you know, there were no pictures of him. They weren't allowed to do that. And all of a sudden, as soon as he became their legal child, there's 50 fucking pictures of the family and him all over the place. It's pretty cute. So I would suggest that little Robert there, who we've had here at Arches of Whitney Villa, he swam here before at the big pool. I think Robert has found himself in a nice home. And again, congratulations to the Crows. That's pretty exciting. Okay, there's going to be a schedule change. It's actually the question came up from, I think it was Jack, about does the live stream Las Vegas thing going to affect our calendar? And we're going to make some changes to the schedule of living in Las Vegas. Here's what's going to happen. First, we're going to be taking off all of March. And then beginning April, we're going to be going from a weekly show that we do right now to bi-weekly, which means that we'll be doing it every other week. And it'll be the first and third Tuesday of every week. Same time, 7 o'clock Pacific time at living or at VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Okay, so here's the reason why we're doing this. The primary reason is the live stream Las Vegas. Now, this is an idea that I came up with towards the end of 2016 and spent about a quarter figuring out how to do this, both from a sales and marketing perspective, but also really from a technical perspective. What we've done hasn't really been done in the way we're doing it. So it was a little leading edge stuff. And we launched Livestream Las Vegas at the middle end of January. And we've gotten really good feedback, nice responses. Things are moving along nicely. But I need to spend more time focusing on this. And I was reading a book, or I read a book at the beginning of the year called The One Thing. And it's written by Gary Keller, Keller of Keller Williams, the real estate company. And this book is really pretty neat. And the synopsis, if you will, is basically, if you want to be good at something, if you want to do something that's really effective, you have to focus your attention on the one thing. And for me, the one thing is Livestream Las Vegas. Now, I'm doing the other things as well. I'm doing the co-op, and I'm still doing the network, of course. But I need to focus on the one thing. And that's why I was able to launch this thing so quickly in January to relatively good results. But we're still seeing, you know, challenges involved, some technical challenges that, like I'm getting the major switcher that I built. I'm getting a new one. I'm getting the one that I had completely replaced. The one that I had started to act a little wonky. It was unacceptable. So I have now bought another one. And that one didn't arrive quite right. So I sent it back and said, you got to get this thing right, man. We're going to be doing this right. So this is a time requirement that I need to do. So it's the technical issues there. It's also some technical issues that I've been dealing with here that I want to fix one, you know, once and for all, because as many of you know who've been watching the show live, especially, we've been bumping into some technical problems with the show that I've had enough of. Also, a bit of a recharge. You know, this is our 300th episode, and these shows are challenging. There's a lot of work involved doing this. It's not uncommon for me to spend 8 hours doing this show. I mean, what this show is not is one of the shows where they basically read a bunch of press releases and then riff on the press releases. Those shows are easy. But doing a show where you're actually creating content, writing content, getting graphics, and then doing both audio and video versions just takes time. And I just would like to recharge a little bit. You know, we've been doing this, we've done 300 shows, and I want to take a breathe. And part of that also is we've started to reach out to a number of people about premium content. And that's code for paid content. And we talked to a number of folks, and some people were completely against it, including some people in the live chat. They're like, fuck that, I don't pay for anything. Okay. And some people were like, yeah, I like the idea of getting special kind of secret handshake content from you that isn't available to other people, which I thought was kind of cool. So there's more content that we're going to do. It's just not going to be for the public stuff. It's going to be for the private stuff, for the premium stuff. Probably more of the shorter content. So not the hour, hour and a half shows, but 5, 10, 15, 20 minute things. We're going to do more on-site content, meaning either the content is done multi-camera on site, or we're, you know, in the casinos and pointing out things that we think are, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. So that's, again, part, that content will be available to folks on the second and fourth week. And we'll probably do more than that as well. But we still don't know. I'm still testing the water. So part of it is an infrastructure research. We've got to see if the infrastructure to do this, to do a membership site, for example, if it makes sense, if there are enough people interested. Like I said, some people are like, fuck that. I want all my stuff free. I'm not going to pay for anything. Okay. Some people are, again, some don't know. Does this make sense? We'll see. It may or may not happen. Stay tuned. If you're interested in that, reach out to me. I'm not going to do one of these 15,000 emails that says, hey, come be a premium member. You're going to get all this or that. You're going to have to just believe me that if we do it, it's going to be pretty fucking cool. But it's up to you. I mean, if you've been watching me for any amount of time, either you like what we do, you think there's value, or you don't. And I'm cool either way. So a recap, no shows in March. And then our first show will come back as a bi-weekly schedule beginning the first week of April. And I haven't decided if this is going to be indefinite or not, or is this going to be just a temporary thing until we get the live stream thing all launched and ready to go. Don't know. Stay tuned for that. Hey, let's have a drink and celebrate. Have a drink on me. It's time for Have a Drink on Me. It's part of the show where I show you a picture of a bar or a lounge or a speakeasy or a pub. And once you see that picture, you send it an email. And if you guess right, you have an opportunity to win some stuff. And you can win a lot of neat stuff. And hey, let's have Pops tell us how to do that.
Hey, kids. Pops here. Five-time Pat'em winner. I know what you're thinking.
Pops, you old fuck.
How can one old guy keep winning a contest over and over and over? Well, did you know there's bonus entries available? After you send in your initial qualifying entry email with the correct Hat'em answer to haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com, you can get bonus entries for being in the live chat during the drawing, or by sending in a video for the Hat'em contest, or by doing a video intro for the show, or being quick on the draw and being the first person with a qualifying entry email in to haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. And don't worry, if you're quick on the draw but you jump the shark, if you're wrong when you send in your first answer, you can send in a corrective email. It'll still get entered as long as it comes in time, and we'll just tease you over being wrong the first time. If you win, you're not qualified to win a following week. No back-to-back wins. But it is polite to pop in and say thank you very much to Scott Whitney and the cast and crew at the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network.
Thank you, Pops. Well done, as always. There's a number of things that you can possibly win as a winner of Have a Drink on Me. One of course, is the fantastic Living in Las Vegas visor. It comes in this cream color, which is so popular, we still have them. We have a red color, which is great for the chicks, man. And we have a black visor, which is the same color as my heart. We also have the ability for some music. Let's say you're kind of a Christmas person, and God bless you, you have the love of Jesus in your heart. Then you're going to do the Christmas Acoustic or Christmas Acoustic 2. These are fantastic songs, or CDs, I should say. Or if you're a Latin jazzy kind of guy, get Jazzathon, which is the song that you hear at the end, which is a song called Gin and Tonic. That comes from get Jazzathon. Or if you'd like to just hang out with me and have a drink and tell me that I shouldn't be asking for money for my content, that sounds like a great time. Let's head on over to Ellis Island, and I'll point you to the hooker, and I'm going to leave you there. But if you do, you just say you want to have a drink on me. Now, there's some other cool things that happen in this particular play, and one of which is that you can increase the number of chances to win. You get one entry if you give us a correct answer. You also get an entry if you provide us an opening introduction video, one of those things that says, hey, I'm Dave Smith from Effingham, Illinois, and you're watching Living in Las Vegas on the Vegas Video Network. That will put you in the hat. If you provide the first correct answer for this segment, You get yourself in the hat. If you're in the live chat and you have a correct answer, that gives you another in the hat. And if you provide a video entry, and it doesn't really have to be anything, it just has to be a video entry, you can get yourself in the live chat. So quite frankly, instead of one entry, you can end up with four entries, which explains why Pops is a 15-time winner of Have a Drink on Me. This is the one other cool thing about this whole Have a Drink on Me thing, and that is we can turn you into a deity. And I know a lot of people say that. A lot of membership sites probably say that, but we actually can do it. Here's how that works. You get yourself a win, and you say, Scott, I'd like to have one of those visors. By the way, I know I owe a couple of people visors. They're coming. Quit yelling at me. But if you do win and you do get one of them, their visors, what you do is you mail it back in, mail a picture of it back into me, and then you get to become a part of the galaxy of gods. There's Steven, Michael, and Robert, and Rosie, and then there's Michael, and Scott, Goodman. There's Vicky, and Bud, and Alan, and Aaron, who were new just a long time ago. There's Bob, Scott, Smokin', and there is Danny, and Shannon, and Craig, who's Vegas 222, and Glenn, and Jimmy 2G's, and then there's Ron, and then there's Ken in Hawaii, and Stuart, and Christina, who's all babies up because of my music, and Don, and Jackie, and then there is Michael, but there's more. There's Bob's our very own Scorsese, and Sammy, and Carol, and a dog. And there is Chris, who we haven't seen in 15 months, at least since he did my show. And of course, there is Brett's dad, and your buddy Scott, and a new dad, Ev Wayne, and of course, our buddy Brett. Alrighty, there you go. So we had 19 out of 19 correct answers, and the picture of last 2 weeks ago's Have a Drink on Me is this picture right here, and the hints were Franklin at Delano's, Franklin at Delano's, and I really thought those were pretty good clues. But just to remind you, if you're into presidential history, you'll like this bar, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. The name of this non-gaming place is the middle name of the president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. It's the president's first name. It's the name of the spar. Franklin Delano. Come on. Those are fantastic clues.
Thank you.
Fake audience. Okay. Let's get at it. Here we go. A pan ready to help people out here. Whoop. Easy, easy. Okay. Our first entry. Jimmy Gallagher, Jimmy 2G's. One for the correct answer. One for being the first correct answer. Oh, but Jimmy's playing the trifecta, isn't he? Let's double check to make sure he is playing the trifecta. La-da-dee. Oh, I don't see him in there. Oh, I'm sorry, Jimmy. Okay. Next up, we've got Monica Fagan. One for the correct answer. And she often goes by Binky, Binky Cricket. Greg Tapscott, or Tapscott Gregor, we don't know what his real name is, but Greg gets one for the correct answer. Greg gets one for being in a live chat. That one needs to be folded a little bit better. Okay, as we continue on. Penny Gregory, Penny Gregory. Penny Gregory, Penny Gregory, one for the correct answer. David Treshell, who was nice enough to phonetically spell that for me the last time we chatted. Gary Romberg, Mr. Testy. Hey, Gary. Mike Beattie. Well done, Mike. Kevin Whip from Canada. I'm telling you, we're taking this place to Canada. We're going to kill it. Andy in New Hampshire, who sent this from Yahoo Mail, which of course means that every hacker now has his credit card information and are buying dildos. Eric Norberg, who often goes by Jen. Eric MN in the live chat. So Eric gets an entry there. Steve Riley Finch, clearly the most sophisticated name of our group. And Brent Barnes from Paradise, California, which I think we learned a couple weeks ago is right next to that dam that burst and flooded everything. We continue on. Steve I, the wise guy from Prescott, he writes, a big fan of the Living in Las Vegas podcast. So Steve gets one for the correct answer. Boink. There you go, Stevie. And we continue. Steve Crowley, Mr. Crowley. Happy birthday to Scott. Well, thank you there, Jim. Craig Daughtry, Vegas 222. It's been a while. It's Vegas 222 is back. Welcome back, my brother. I've had a Haddam drink with old Craigie a couple times, or at least one time. And we continue. Bill Beers from Seattle, Washington. And Bill writes, hello, gents. I could have sworn I wrote Hender Tucky on last week's email. Probably did. I believe Wayne read that one, so we can't. He's about ready to be a permanent father. Eh, a lot of pressure. Did I totally butcher the spelling, or did Wayne miss me trying to be to show savvy? It's Wayne's fault. This week's bar is the Franklin at Delano. While I've been to the Skyfall Lounge a couple of times, I've never visited Delano. Looks nice. Watching this week's episode on YouTube has got one thumb up so far. You are welcome. Thank you. Raining like a son of a bitch in Seattle today. What? Rain in Seattle? That almost never happens. Highest suicide rate in cities. Let's go with Seattle. That's right. Why did grunge come from Seattle? Because those people are pissed. I dropped the knife to watch the show. Thanks for saving me. Okay, Bill Beers in Seattle, Washington. I believe we have a gentleman named Bill Beers running for Congress or Senator or something here. Hopefully. Next up, we have Barb Chitanis. Is that right, Barb, or did I fuck it up? One for the correct answer. And one for being in the live chat. Barb from Wisconsin. Way to go, Barb. Barb has also taken advantage of our other show, which is Travel, Eat, Learn. We've got a number of people watching it, but not a lot of people are sending in their guesses for their contest. So Barb keeps winning. I believe Barb has so far won 15 $25 gift certificates for Starbucks. And Mike Q from the Oregon. Oh, I forgot to read Barb's email. Excuse me. Stand by. Barb writes, hi, Scott and Wayne. The answer for this week's Haddam is Franklin at Delano. This one was a little challenging. Had to spend a little time surfing for the answers. But your clues, as always, made the answer clear in the end. Hoping to catch you live tomorrow, which she meant today. And she has done just that. Okay. Mike Q, again, from the Oregon. Mike writes, well, first of all, Mike gets one for the correct answer. Mike, a longtime supporter of the Big Shoe, gets one for being in the live chat. And Mike writes, greetings, Scott and Wayne. This week's Haddam winner, or Haddam, is Franklin at the Delano. Hoping for warm weather tomorrow as I come down for my interview on March 1st, tomorrow, off of Flamingo and Stephanie. As I have won many times, please allow me to pay it forward to those who have not. Be well, Mike. Hey, we're hoping that Mike kills his job interview and he gets what he's been looking for, which is he wants to move to Las Vegas. No accounting for taste. And next up we have Pops. Pops initially writes, as he's wont to do so, boink. Dear Scott, this week's correct Haddam is the Franklin. I've heard it's located near Delano. Delano is rumored to be at or on a Mandalay Bay. Now don't quote me on anything other than that's the name of the bar. I've never been close to just driving by. I'm likely to keep it that way. I'm no big fan of the Strip anyways, and it seems further south you go, the less fucks I give. Along that lines, just slightly further south, on the left is the world's worst Buffalo Wild Wings. Huh? I love Buffalo Wild Wings. Congratulations, two worlds record holding for the same town. Since you also host the world's worst Walmart on Boulder Highway across from Samstown. Things could get worse, I guess. You could run out of water in Lake Mead, or start charging for parking on the Strip, or get an NFL team. Oh, wait, you're doing all that shit. Damn. I hope you have a great birthday, Pops. And here is Pops' video entry.
Hey kids, this week's correct Haddam answer is Franklin.
That'll be easy for me to remember because it's also my middle name. I don't spend much time on this part of the strip. I don't spend much time on the strip at all. So I've never been to this bar. It was nice of them to post some pictures taken from a great angle that makes pretty decent backdrops. Because, unfortunately, standing in front of this green felt in the warehouse is about as close to this bar as I'm going to get. That's for two reasons. Number one, I know where all the fun places are in Vegas. And number two, I'm not stupid enough to pay $20 for a drink. No! See ya.
God bless America.
Yeehaw. I see you, Bill. Bill Beers was in the live chat, so Bill, I'm putting you in there. I'm not going to forget you, my brother. Okay. And then Pops. Pops for one for the correct answer. Pops gets one for being in the live chat, and Pops gets one for the video entry. Well, well played. Okay. Let's find out who our big winner is today. La-da-dee. Island Steve. Are you, holy shit. Hold on. Steve Riley Finch, right, Steve? Steve Riley Finch. Yeah, pretty good. I got somebody who wrote in and said, you skipped me last week, so I'm done. Okay. I'm done. I'm done taking your free content. What a fucking dick. How you really feel, Scott? I feel that was pretty stupid. I'm like, okay. See ya. I ain't got no time for that shit. I got shit to do. All right, here we go. La-da-dee, la-da-da. Don't look, no cheating. All right, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? Here it is. This is the winner right there. Oh, that feels nice. Let's see what we got. And the winner is... Oh, this is good news. This may pretend for good stuff. The winner is Mike Q, everybody. Mike Q. As I recall, Mike said if he does win, did he say if he wins, he's going to give it away? Very much like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Didn't he say that? He did say that. Okay, Mike. Then, now, Mike, would you like me to pick somebody else? Or, Mike, would you like me to have you pick somebody in the live chat and give it to him? Up to you. But let me know quickly. Mm-hmm. All right, he wants me to pick a new one. All right, here we go. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, Mikey getting in there, making shit happen. God damn it. I need a visor for one of those LV Rays. Yeah, we'll buy one. Okay, here we go. Oh, that's a nice one. Wouldn't it be funny if I picked Mike again? That'd be fantastic. God damn it. Kevin, I don't mean that in a bad way. Kevin Whipf in Canada. A previous winner, by the way. He was kind enough to allow me to buy him a drink. And I'm hoping he's kind enough to allow me to send him a music CDs in an MP3 format. Okay, since we're going to be taking the big break, we're not going to be doing another one for this week. We're going to start fresh when we get going in April. All right, that's it, everybody. Thanks for playing along. Again, if you want to reach out to us or do some cool stuff, you can do that. Our email address is honorq@livinginlv.com. Again, honorq@livinginlv.com. If you want to leave us a voicemail, it's super easy to do that. You don't even have to use your phone. That's how magical we are. You just go to the Vegas Video Network homepage. You click that little red tab on the right-hand side. That's going to bring up a box that says Start Recording. And because you have a microphone attached to your computer, guess what? You get to start recording. We're on all that social media stuff, Facebook and the Twitter and all that nonsense, which I'm sure is going to eventually take off. We're also on iTunes. If you see us or watch us or listen to us, give us a positive review, 5 stars. You know the whole thing. If you find us on YouTube, give us a thumbs up. Share us with your friends. Put us on your Facebook page. That'd be fantastic as well. And besides those places, we're on Roku. Over 73,000 accounts installed. We're on Stitcher and TuneIn and Chromecast and the Apple, Google, and Fire TV. And of course, VegasVideoNetwork.com. All right, that's it, everybody. We'll see you guys a little bit later, as in about a month or so. Have a beautiful month of May. It's starting to get warmer here, which means everything is going to be okay. I'm your host, Scott Whitney. This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. Take care, everybody. ticket.